Hello, this is Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, April 27, 2017. Parkland College boards first black breaks other barrier too. Hardin also is first member on faculty. Without fanfare or controversy, Rochelle Hardin made history Wednesday night when she was sworn in as the first black person on the Parkland College Board of Trustees in its 50 years, and the first board member who also is an active faculty member. Hardin, a Champaign resident who is an associate professor of English, was administered the oath of office at Wednesday's board meeting, along with recently re-elected board member Dana Trimble, board members Dana Trimble, Greg Knott, and Bianca Green. Although Parkland's attorney and the executive director of the state's Community College Trustees Association both say that Hardin has a conflict of interest, cannot serve as both a faculty member and a trustee, and could face prosecution for a Class 4 felony, there was no mention of the controversy Wednesday night. After the back and forth in emails between Hardin and Parkland attorney Lorna Geiler, there's been no conversation. I haven't heard anything from the board. I haven't heard anything from the president. I haven't heard anything, Hardin said. They've sort of left it there, and that's the end of it. Hardin said she has heard nothing about a lawsuit challenging her service on the board. It seems that they're sort of dropped it and let it be, she said. I don't really expect a specific legal challenge. Asked what issues she would abstain from voting on, Hardin said, personnel issues definitely. Obviously, I want to avoid any improprieties there. That would also apply, she said, to personnel discussions in closed sessions of the board. I will remove myself from that conversation because I think it's really important that there isn't even the hint of impropriety, that there is no indication whatsoever that I have any sort of undue influence, she said. A lot of these people are my friends. A lot of these people are my colleagues, too. So I think I will remove myself from any conversation where we are discussing somebody's hiring or somebody being let go or resignation or anything like that. Absolutely remove myself from that conversation, not just abstaining from the vote, but remove myself. Hardin said it's possible, as former trustee Donna Gertz told the News Gazette, that she might have to abstain from votes at every meeting. That is a possibility, and if that's the case, I'll continue to do that, she said. If it happens at every single meeting, we'll do it at every single meeting. Will it dilute my impact on the board? Not at all. Hardin said that being the first black person to serve on the Parkland board is a huge deal to me. My students are primarily African American, low income. I'm telling them all the time, please keep pushing. It's toward the end of the semester and their grades are not doing so good, she said. I keep telling them, keep at it, stay with it. It's important for me to be able to say to them that it was not an easy fight for me. It was not easy, but I did have a lot of support, and that's what made the real difference for me. I now feel like it's really important, especially to African Americans, who say, oh, the system is rigged against me. No, it is not, and you can fight through it, and you can make it. In the Parkland election results certified by Champaign County Clerk Gordy Halton, the three winners in the race for six-year terms were Trimble with 18,562 votes, Knott with 12,653, and Hardin with 12,101. Out of the running were Richard Taylor, who got 11,159, Eugene John Donaghy with 8,220, and Rabel Burge, 5,356. In the race for a two-year term, Green had 9,479 votes to 7,403 for Kathleen Robbins, 5,274 for John Barry Howell, and 3,230 for Becky Densmore. And a sidebar, former trustee, successor can't stay on faculty. Former Parkland College board member Donna Gertz said she told board colleagues last week that she believes that her replacement, Rochelle Hardin, shouldn't be allowed to continue as a faculty member. Hardin, an associate professor of English, was elected to the Parkland board on April 4th. She can't be a boss. She can't be her own boss, said Gertz, a Champaign resident, whose 12 years on the Parkland board ended Wednesday. My suggestion was when she is sworn in, she is no longer an employee at Parkland. You cannot do both. She has a choice. She can be a faculty member and get paid, or she can be on the board and not get a dime. That was my suggestion, that if she is sworn in right then and there, her employment with the college ends. She would no longer be paid by Parkland College. Gertz said she made the suggestion during an executive session of the Parkland board last week. She declined to say whether other board members agreed. It was my suggestion that that's what we should do. We're going to be sued anyway, so we might as well just start off the bat and not mess around. If we let her serve, we're just going to be kicking the can down the road. It would be should be immediately done. Gertz, a former Parkland professor who retired from the faculty before being elected to the board, predicted that the presence on the board would create ongoing problems. At every board meeting, there's going to be controversy if they let her stay on the board, Gertz said. I've learned over the years that you act immediately. You don't say, well, you may say no immediately. State Farm Center Concert, 38 times a charm for Garth fan. Bubba Strauss has never met Garth Brooks, although that doesn't stop the Cleveland man from proclaiming, I feel like I almost have a bromance with him. Brooks, the country music megastar, has millions of fans worldwide, many of whom claim to be his number one fan. Count Strauss among the many number one fans out there. The 50-year-old will be in attendance for Brooks' April 30th show at the State Farm Center. It'll be his first visit to Champaign, but far from the first time he has seen Brooks perform live. Brooks' fourth show in Champaign will mark the 22nd time Strauss has seen Brooks live since the performer went back on tour in September 2014. And before Brooks took a 14-year break from touring, Strauss had been to 16 concerts from 1990 to 2000. It never gets old, not for me, Strauss said. Why such an affinity for Brooks from Strauss? The bottom line, he says, is that everything Brooks does during the concert experience is geared toward making it as enjoyable as possible for the fans. From scaling up to the nosebleed sections and bringing fans down to the first few rows, to pointing out those with eye-grabbing signs, Brooks makes most in attendance feel special, according to Strauss. It's just a different feeling than any other concert I've been to, Strauss said. You go to a lot of concerts and they just sit on a chair and play or just sing in their songs, and you're thinking, I could go home and just listen to this on CD. But Garth is into the crowd and plays to the crowd. Friends have often questioned Strauss's sanity and why he continues to travel across the country to see the same guy perform over and over again. I'm like, yeah, it's the same show, but it's different because every city brings a different euphoria to it, he said. A lot of times he sets and the songs are the same, and I can tell you what he's going to play, but it's the way it comes across. The crowd is phenomenal. It's different from anything I've ever seen, and I'm attracted to that, and that's why he's my favorite artist. It took some convincing, but Strauss's wife, Kathy Chale, is on board too. She's not a country music lover, but she has grown to appreciate Garth Brooks. Still, a line was drawn when Brooks was in Cincinnati on back-to-back weekends in January. She didn't want to go two weekends in a row and suggested that Strauss donate his extra ticket to Wounded Warriors, which is something he had done previously. So when Brooks performed in Cincinnati, Strauss treated two veterans and their families. He did the same in Albany, New York, although he couldn't get one lined up for Philadelphia. Supporting veterans is a cause that's important to Strauss, who works for the U.S. Postal Service, which employs a good number of veterans. It just enlightened me so much about how they feel, and the bottom line is they don't feel like they're appreciated as much as they should be, he said. It's like November 11th is the only day that people say thank you. I didn't know that at all, and I got to know them a little bit better. So when he comes to Champaign later this month, Strauss will be treating Jeff Crow, a local Army veteran, to the April 30th show at State Farm Center. I just enjoy getting to know them and spending time with them, Strauss said. I love sitting down to talk with them and have them share their experiences with me. It's something we're going to continue doing from now on. The trip to Champaign provides an opportunity to potentially meet up with a long-lost friend. Strauss was a collegiate wrestler at Iowa in the late 1980s, and among his teammates was Illinois wrestling coach Jim Heffernan. Strauss and Heffernan also went to the same high school, St. Edward, just outside Cleveland. I was a senior in high school when he was a freshman. Really talented guy who had a good pedigree in wrestling, Heffernan said of Strauss. I had no idea he was such a big fan. I saw him on the news and started looking up some stuff about him out of curiosity. If there's an opportunity when he's in town, we'll catch up. Heffernan isn't the Brooks superfan that Strauss is. I suppose Garth is okay, he said, but there's a good chance he'll be in attendance for one of the champagne shows. My wife was just bugging me about going again last night, he said. Strauss is 3 years younger than Heffernan, so their paths didn't cross but for a couple of years in their younger days. They haven't seen one another in close to 30 years, but Strauss has followed his former teammate's career. He's one of the hardest working wrestlers I've ever been around. He was just focused and trained hard, Strauss said. He was down to earth, just a great guy. Look what he's done for the program at Illinois. He's done something right. No offense to Heffernan, but if Strauss had to choose between meeting him and Brooks, it's a no-brainer. Despite attending dozens of shows through the years and typically being seated within the first 10 rows, Strauss has never met his favorite artist. It's on my bucket list. I don't think it would happen, but I would absolutely love it, said Strauss, who estimate he has spent in the neighborhood of $7,000 attending all these Brooks concerts. My dream has always been to shake his hand, say thank you for what he does for the fans. Spotlight on College Grads, Part 2 in a series. Not dropping the mic. Olivet Sr. views Christian radio gig as ministry. Bourbon A. Danelli Rabanales Hernandez grew up with a deep love for music and found her niche at college working for a contemporary Christian radio network. And she knows there's something more important going on during her evening programs on Shine FM than just her behind the microphone. It's a ministry that God is using me for, she said. A native of Mexico who grew up in Arcola, Rabanales Hernandez is a 22-year-old senior at Olivet Nazarene University who will be graduating next month. She has been an on-air personality for Olivet Shine FM Radio Network since her freshman year and also worked closely with Shine General Manager Brian McIntyre Utter to launch its online Hispanic radio ministry and sister station Bria FM. Currently living in Bradley with her family, Rabanelos Hernandez was born in the southern Mexico town of Chiapas. Her parents first moved the family to Arcola when she was 5, and then moved again to Bradley during her later college years. During growing up years in Arcola, her dad worked for the Dutch Kitchen restaurant, and her mom worked for the Arcola Healthcare Center. In high school, she was in drama club, played alto sax in marching, pep, and concert bands, sang in the choir, and was also part of a local youth coalition that was dedicated to abstaining from drug use and breaking down cultural barriers, she said. Rabanelos Hernandez said she had originally planned to go to Parkland College and transfer to the University of Illinois, but wound up being inspired by a speaker from Olivet Nazarene who came to her church and talked about the Christ-centered education offered there, which was very important to me. It has been the right choice for her, she said. At Olivet, she has found good friends and caring teachers who have supported and encouraged her to grow. I really believe God led me here, she said. I really believe this is where I needed to be. A natural talent. Rabanelos Hernandez counts her parents as huge influences in her life. She said, at Olivet Nazarene, she has met a few more role models. One of them was Utter, whom she talked to about wanting to start a Spanish language Christian station and then worked with to get it off the ground when she became Shine FM's general manager. She formerly hosted a program at Bria FM, but currently just manages it and keeps in contact with its on-air people, since she has been busy with her program on Shine and her classwork. This summer, she hopes to get back on the air at Bria again. Utter said Hernandez is a straight-A student with a natural ability to communicate and an outgoing, bubbly personality that comes across on the air. Very few of our students advance to actually get on the network, Utter said. Danelli has a natural talent and ability to be on the network her freshman year. Rabanelos Hernandez helped make it possible to launch Bria, and her contribution to it has been substantial, he said. To keep her around a while longer, Utter said, he offered her one of the positions on staff that comes with paid graduate school tuition and a stipend in exchange for part-time work on the two stations. Students like her come along very rarely, he said. Other mentors and big influences in her life have been the late communications professor Carl Fletcher and communications department chairman Jay Martinson, both of whom took time to listen to her, advise her, and care, she said. I'm so grateful. For her graduate education, she plans to pursue an MBA to pair with her media degree and focus on nonprofits, since most Christian radio stations are nonprofits, she said. After that, she'll either remain working in Christian radio or go to work for a nonprofit, with the organizations most important to her being those that help migrants, refugees, and orphans, she said. Rabinella Hernandez said the move from Arcola to Bradley was an adjustment for her family, but they've met people in their new community who have helped them feel like they fit in and belong. For herself, she appreciates both her Arcola roots and what she has found where she is now. Growing up, having been raised in a small community, raised in Douglas County, I think that helped me appreciate people, learn about how important people really are, she said. I think I could have been more appreciative growing up because I had it all there. I took it all for granted. Fortunately, she said, she has been learning to be more intentional about what she has in her life now. I am so grateful for people in my life, she says. And a sidebar bio bits. Danielle Rabinellas Hernandez once thought she wanted a career in the medical field, but she changed her mind before college while working as a translator during a medical procedure. In 2016, she was the first recipient of the Media Catalyst Scholarship, honoring the memory of Olivet Nazarene Communications Professor Carl Fletcher. One of her college activities has included performing with Olivet Nazarene Orpheus Choir. At CU Mass Transit District, MTD moves to annex 464 acres. Additional sections of 6 subdivisions in West Champaign could be annexed into the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District this year, under a resolution adopted by the MTD Board Wednesday. A public hearing on the annexation of 464 acres of property in the trails at Chestnut Grove, Abbey Fields, Jacobs Landing, Wills Trace, Ironwood West, and Trails Edge subdivisions will be held at 4 p.m. June 12th at Champaign Fire Station 6, 3911 West Windsor Road, Champaign. Some homes in each of the subdivisions already are within the transit district boundaries. The annexation move by the MTD comes at the same time the Carl Foundation has petitioned the MTD to annex 325 acres at its nearby Carl at the Fields development at the northwest quadrant of the intersection of Interstate 57 at Curtis Road. Carl Natt, the MTD's managing director, said the Carl request prompted the transit agency to take a comprehensive look at the area and the service levels that we provide in the Southwest Champaign area. The subdivision sections are contiguous to the MTD service area, he said, and the annexation will bring the MTD into compliance with the MTD's long-standing annexation agreement with the City of Champaign and the local long-range transportation plan. The petition from Carl doesn't need a public hearing because they are asking, but it just makes sense to tie the two together since they're in the same area. From a planning perspective, it just makes sense to look at the whole area comprehensively, Nat said. Part of the Carl property will be taxable, Nat told board members. Nat said that the Carl purchased additional property on the north side of its development so that it would be contiguous to the MTD district and eligible for service. In earlier discussions, Carl was told that it would have to pay for MTD services at cost because they would not be participating in the tax base, Nat said. Instead, they went the route of purchasing that property and becoming contiguous and eligible for annexation. Also Wednesday, the MTD board approved an application for the purchase of 5 paratransit vans and a street supervisor minivan for the district's disability services. The new vans would replace vehicles that have between 132,044 and 142,574 miles on them. A federal grant estimated at $356,000 would pay the entire cost of the 6 replacement vehicles. Renewed an agreement with the Champaign School District to provide transportation services for middle school and high school students next year. Under the agreement, which has been in effect since 1977, the school district will pay the MTD $388,092 next year. learned that March ridership fell 1.2% from the previous March and that the year-to-date loss is about 4.5%. Heard that an open house on the system-wide expansion of its designated stops programs, now in use only on the Green Route, will be held May 3rd and May 24th at the Illinois Terminal Building in downtown Champaign. Beginning in August, all MTD buses will stop only at stops designated by a sign. Use of consolidated stops, generally every two blocks or so, saves time, money, and wear and tear on buses. Mark it down. Signing of state's best player changes Illini's outlook. I'm going to play my game and just win. That's what I want to do. Mark Smith made his first unofficial visit to Illinois on January 1st and got his scholarship offer from then-coach John Gross after the Illini beat Ohio State. The Edwardsville Guard visited again in early February and again last week. One more unofficial visit that simply reinforced what he already believed, Illinois was for him. Smith heard the pitch from a pair of Blue Bloods and a perennial Big Ten title contender. Kentucky and Michigan State both offered. Duke came in late with some interest and an in-home visit. But Illinois, even after the coaching change from Gross to Brad Underwood, remained in the picture. Last week's visit sealed the deal, and Smith announced his decision to attend Illinois and play for Underwood on Wednesday evening during a ceremony at Luco Jackson Gym in Edwardsville. Coach Underwood, he said, I made his day, and it was great to see my name on that line on the national letter of intent, Smith said. He told Underwood his decision Monday and fast assigned NLI to Illinois on Wednesday morning, while he was also informing the coaches at Michigan State and Duke, his two other finalists, of his decision. I'm just glad I built a great relationship with Underwood, Smith said. His offense and what he has planned, the players coming back and players coming in, were going to be really good. Smith is also embracing the challenge of returning Illinois to a higher level. The Illini scuffled in the past two seasons under Gross, losing one time 2017 signees Jeremiah Tillman and Javon Pickett after the coaching change was another blow. I want a challenge like that, Smith said. That pressure doesn't really faze me. I've got one goal. I'm going to play my game and just win. That's what I want to do. Smith's announcement mirrored how he approached his recruitment, even as it jumped from official visits to mid-majors like Wright State in the fall to an in-home visit from Kentucky coach John Calipari and a FaceTime conversation with Duke's Mike Krzyzewski in the past month. Low-key. Smith sat in front of a sizable crowd alongside his parents and siblings. After thanking his parents and coaches, among others, his reveal was removing his black Edwardsville jacket to reveal a white Illini short-sleeve polo shirt while putting on a blue Illini hat. Anthony Smith, Mark's dad, said it was a weight lifted from his family's shoulders. His mom, Yvonne, joked she was happy the decision was made, so her phone, constantly buzzing or ringing the past few months, would get a break. Both see Illinois as a good fit for their son, mostly because it was his decision. He would put our opinion in, but he never wanted to persuade him. Yvonne Smith said, in the end, it had to be his decision. His heart was always with Illinois. I just think he chose the right place. He's going to school for himself and not mom or dad. Anthony said his advice to his son was simple. What does your gut tell you? What does your heart tell you? Anthony Smith said, in the end, he picked the school that he wanted to pick. Mark picked it. He said, hey, if you like it, we love it. Anthony Smith, who coached the boys' basketball team at Metro East Lutheran in Edwardsville, just down the street from where his son played, saw Illinois as a good fit basketball-wise, too. We're rebuilding over there, Anthony Smith said. We've got a new coach in there, and I think if you can get Mr. Basketball in there with the returning players and the people coming in, they're going to be competitive. He talked to Kipper Nichols and some of the other guys on the team. He and Trent Frazier talked all the time. It was pretty much a done deal. We just hadn't told anybody. Next up for Smith is a turn as a recruiter himself, turning his attention to Tillman and Pickett, who he called his good friends. Neither has committed or signed elsewhere since receiving their NLI releases from Illinois earlier this month. Oh, yeah, I'm going to talk to them, he said. I feel like we have a great class with Trent and DeMonte Williams. It was important to come in and make an impact. That played a part of my decision, but also played with good players. There are a lot of great players coming back and also great players coming up. COSAD New Adventure Competition. Winners hit the right note with judges. The judges took longer than expected to determine the winners of the year's COSAD New Venture competition. To help fill the time, one of the finalists, Sam Walder, played his violin. Once the judges returned, Walder's project was named one of the two first place winners, receiving a $15,000 prize for his app, Trala, that helps students learn to play the violin. "It's good," Walder said, about winning the prize. Trala helps students learn by pointing out mistakes as they play. "It listens to you play your real instrument and tells you exactly what mistakes you're making as you're making them," Walder said during his presentation. "And then it sends all the information to your teachers so they know when you've entered a lesson, what's going on." Trala was one of six finalists that presented publicly Wednesday in front of the judges, and it was one of the 125 teams that participated in the University of Illinois' 17th annual COSAD New Venture Competition, which began in February and is named for local entrepreneur V. Dale COSAD. Walder, a senior in computer engineering, said the next step is to expand Trala to more instruments. "Right now I have it for string instruments," he said. "I want to expand it very shortly to all orchestral musicians. Trala is already on both the iOS and Android apps, and Walder hopes to reach 20,000 users. To test the app's viability, Walder advertised it last week in the iOS App Store. "I threw $100 of ads on the App Store, and we got 500 paid subscriptions. Each of these is $10 a month," he said. "This is a ravenous market." The other first place winner was Autonomic Energy Systems, which is trying to prevent lithium-ion batteries from catching fire, a problem that caught the public's eye last year when Samsung's Galaxy Note 7 was recalled for battery problems. "This is a problem across industries, from consumer electronics to electronic vehicles to industrial equipment," said co-founder Tony Griffin, a fourth-year PhD student in materials engineering. "To solve this, AES has created two types of microcapsules that will be put inside the battery when it is manufactured. One helps prevent battery fires from starting, and the other helps put fires out if they start. Our microcapsules will melt and shut the battery down when they get too hot, or release a flame retardant when the battery gets too set on fire," Griffin said. In their tests, the microcapsules, which are about the size of a red blood cell, don't affect battery performance, but they want to conduct rigorous tests. "We need to put this technology through a number of rigorous tests to prove that it not only works under many conditions, but that it doesn't affect any other parts of the battery," Griffin said. "Whenever you change a battery technology, you have to retest everything." AES is also going to talk to more potential customers, Griffin said, to better understand their needs. But he's still processing AES's first place showing, which also includes a prize of $15,000. "Am I dreaming? What's going on right now?" he said. Fatal crash investigated. Rantoul. Champaign County Sheriff's deputies continue to investigate a weekend crash in the northern part of the county that killed one person and injured another. Lieutenant Brian Menengez said Damon Mosley, 34, of Fisher, was pronounced dead Sunday at the scene of a single vehicle crash that happened about 3:15 p.m. near the intersection of County Roads 3200 North and 1200 East, about 2 miles northwest of Rantoul. Menengez said a teenage girl in the pickup truck with Mr. Mosley was also injured and taken to a local hospital for treatment. He did not release her name. We'll end this segment with a joke. Personal call. One caller to our answering service gave me his name, number, and message and said, "You know my name, what's yours?" 41,036, I replied, since they were allowed only to give our operator numbers. Sounding disappointed, he said, "May I call you by your first digit, or would that be too personal?" This has been Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, April 27, 2017. Please stay tuned for Part 2.